So today we're going to talk a little bit about fishing holes. Everybody that fishes has to have a fishing hole. You know, there's a fishing hole, and there's fish of all kind, and some fishes congregate in certain fishing holes and types of, some are in rivers, some are in streams, some are in ponds, but we got to go where they're at. We got to go where they're at. So, like I said, last week we spoke about the simplicity of the gospel. If you remember the message, that's what it was titled, the simplicity of the gospel. It's a simple message. We said, go and tell them. We said, obey, right? And then we said, you need to have compassion. It's as simple as that. We go and tell them. We obey. So today I want to talk to you in fishing terms that God wants us to go fishing. Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, these people are just getting saved. Day one. It's like, hey, here's your orientation into Christianity. Matthew 4:19. Jesus called out to them, saying, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Boom, right there. And it's not like, hey, once you're a Christian for 20 years, you know, once you really get the hang of this thing, he said, no, hey, look, God's done something inside your life, and even that seed that's in you is good enough to fish for people. Now, you may just catch a bluegill at first. You know, some people get really good. They can catch like the, you know, would be like a marlin or something like that. They go like deep sea fishing. You know, but I want to talk today about going fishing, you know, and lures and fishing holes. And so if you like fishing, this is the message for you, okay? So I'm going to start right away. Point number one, God's heart is that you become a skilled fisherman or fisherwoman. You know, it's gender neutral, you know, fisherman, fisherwoman. Look at what it says in Acts 16, verses 19 to 23. And it says, then they took him to the high council of the city. So let me just preempt this before I show this, because you're not going to understand what's going on. Paul is in Athens. And if you guys know, Greece, you know, Athens is the capital of Greece. And Greece is the birthplace of philosophers. You've probably heard about Plato and Aristotle. And there was this place called Areopagus where people would congregate just to, hey, let's hear the latest and greatest, the most novel idea out there of philosophy. And they would just kind of enjoy that. Hey, look, no harm, no foul. We'll just hear some crazy idea. We'll discuss it. And now we feel we're so much smarter than everybody else, right? They just kind of enjoy that. And some people do that. They talk about philosophies, but they don't change anyone's life, you know? So, but you know what? Paul is a smart fisherman. He's a skilled fisherman. And he's like, I got the right lure for this people. You got to know your audience. You understand that? And so this is what's happening right here. So let's develop it. It says, then they took him to the high council of the city. Come and tell us about this new teaching, they said. Because they said, hey, I want to talk to you about something. You were saying some rather strange things, and we want to know what it's all about. They were just interested in this new philosophy that Paul had. It should be explained that all the Athenians as well as the foreigners in Athens seem to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. So Paul is standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I noticed that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines. And one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. Boom. You know, they say that every culture out there has something that you can connect to the gospel. When we developed the Upside Down Club, if I don't remember, our emblem was an upside down tree, had its roots, because in the Indian culture, they believe there's a tree that has its roots in heaven that gives fruit to people on the earth. And we said, huh, we know where those roots are in, you know, those roots are in Jesus, you know, and it provides fruit for the people on the earth. So that's the way we developed it, because we were going into a secular location so that we could fish for those fish. Are you guys understanding? So that's what Paul was doing. He said, hey, I see you have this statue over here to an unknown God. They just want to make sure that all their bases were covered. How many people know that, you know, it's like, yeah, I believe everything just in case I'm, you know, this is not right or that's right. At least I'll have all bases covered and I'll go to heaven anyway. Well, that's not the way it works. But Paul, being a smart fisherman, he said, I'm going to grab on that, and I'm going to use this as a lure. Because there's a right lure for the right fish for the right season and the right fishing hole. And at different times of the day, you even have to change your tactics. How many know, where are my fishermen? You know, the tactic that you use in the morning is not the one that you use in the evening. Sometimes you fish in the shallow. Sometimes you got to go deep. You know, you got to be where the fish are. And so you need to know your craft. So we have to adjust our methodology and hone our skills for the type of fish that we're going after. You're going after children, right? You're going after young adults. You're going after, you know, young people, the elderly. Everybody has a different, you know, lure. Ultimately, the message is the same, but we have to change our methodology. And sometimes people get caught up in that. We become a little religious, like, yeah, we shouldn't do it like that. This rap stuff, that is just craziness. That's from hell. You know, even though people are being used all the time to win, you know, people in the urban culture and the hip-hop scene, you know, with rap. I understand what I'm saying? That may not be your lure, but it's somebody's lure. So we got to give people room. Because ultimately, truth is a man. Truth is not a concept. It's not a philosophy. Truth is a man. It is Jesus Christ. He's the only name under heaven by which men can be saved. That's what the Bible tells us. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. However, the packaging, the strategy, the language can differ from situation to situation and from audience to audience. Are you tracking so far? So like I said, it could be young people, rich people, middle class, urban, homeschooled, different country. You change the approach. You have to speak the language so they can receive the message. So you can get in the game. Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. Even though I'm a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. You know, the people that started modern type of missions were these people called the Moravians. In present day, like Czechoslovakia, it's like in that part of Europe. And this people would said, hey, I'm never going to see you guys again. I want to go minister to this people on this island in the West Indies. And I'm going to, some people even said, I'm going to sell myself as a slave so I can minister to the slaves. And they would be never seen again. It was not like today where you can just catch a flight, go there, preach, and come back. No, they were, say, see you. This, I'm talking about like 1700s, you know, 1600s and beyond, right? So this is what Paul's saying. Hey, look, I'll become a slave if I have to. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. If you remember, there was a situation where he was getting in trouble with some of the Jews, you know, or the Christians that were from a Judaism background. And he said, you know what you need to do? You need to do one of those old school Judaism vows. Shave your head. And then they will say, okay, this guy is a true Jew because, you know, he shaves his head to do a vow. Right? What did he do there? He was speaking their language. He had the right lure so that he could then talk to them. Right? So when I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who were under the law. When I'm with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from the law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. I live free. When I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness. I don't flaunt all the money that I have when I'm with a poor person, you know. You know, I'm not going to wear like a tuxedo to go talk to the homeless. They're going to say, what do you have to tell me? I have none to talk. You establish a reference point. When I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find, listen, common ground with everyone. You know, we have to be shrewd. We have to be, you know, astute, like the Bible says, like snakes, even though we're meek as doves. We don't lie, but we do have to, you know, use different strategies in order to win people to the Lord. Ben Peterson, who ministers on post to soldiers, he'll come in with a resiliency message. Because that's the language that the military uses today, resiliency. It means that we're going to give you all the skills for you to cope with problems without God. So he says, hey, you know, here's my resiliency, you know, message. And I just ministered to your mind. I just ministered to your body. If anybody wants to hear about the spirit part, come meet me after this. Or we're going to have a special meeting just for that. And guess what? Because he met them in their terms, you know. This year, they've already, you know, just in up to this point in February, last time we checked, he had already had 800 people give their lives, left to the Lord, you know. 800 soldiers. He was a soldier himself. He knows how to speak, the soldier language. So are you understanding what I'm trying to say here? We got to change our lure. So like I said, military fishing is different. But we try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can, what it says, to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. You talk with a jock, talk about sports, start throwing out all the stats that you know. Talk about the game. Of course, at a certain point in time, you're going to have to make a transition. Did you know Russell Wilson's a saved, you know, believer? You know, he loves Jesus. Hey, did you see how Mahomes, you know, after he won the Super Bowl, he gave honor to Jesus? That's what we have, the fellowship of Christian athletes. There are people that say, hey, we want to reach the people that like sports. You know, we find common ground with everyone in order to win some to the Lord. So you are in a sphere. You don't have to win every type. You know, Paul did missions to all kinds of countries and situations, so he became very skilled at talking to all kinds of people. You may not have to have so many lures. Maybe you have the good old reliable rainbow lure, right? And you throw it out there because it seems like it's like Novocaine. It always works, right? You know, you use that as much as you need to. But sometimes you have to vary the approach. If somebody's telling you they're sick with cancer, don't throw out all this stuff about the law. You know, listen to them. They're going to give you cues as to what they need. So methods can change, but the message has to stay the same, same Jesus. You know, there are many fishing holes. So what is your fishing hole? Okay, Tim Tebow, he's been ministering to all these families with children with Down syndrome. He's doing this like gala type of events where they get to dress up and they do the roll out the red carpet and they honor these children. And you see all these kids just smiling and flourishing because they're having a fun time at a party that's made for them. And he shares the good news with these people. Like Paul, use what they want to talk about and turn the tables on them. Go from the natural and transition to the supernatural. Do you have any spiritual beliefs? Oh, I'm sorry that you're suffering from that, but I've heard that Jesus heals. Can I pray for you in that situation? Can I pray for you? They'll be open to the message. Point number two. Oh, let me say one last thing before I move on to point number two. Win your children to Christ. Your children will listen to everything you got to say, even if you mess it up. They'll say yes. But you know, here's the thing. When you say, God, I want to win my children to Christ, is it going to make you walk a little different? He's like, I got to live it out in front of them. That's your first fishing hole. Right? I'm not ashamed if you say, hey, look, my children are messed up. You know, it's like the Bible says, you know, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do not live like that. You got to say, I can't live in the past and I can't live in the future. I got to live in the now. What do I need to do today to impact my children? How can I impact my children today? How can I live before them that will impact them, that will salt their oats? Amen? That will draw them to Christ at the place they're in their life. Just be patient. Some people take years, 9, 10, 20. I've heard of 40 years of praying for someone and they come to the Lord. You never know. Don't stop praying for them. Don't stop living it out in front of them as best you can. Nobody's perfect. And even in your messes, you know, just say, hey, I ask God to forgive me. Can you forgive me too? You know, and just move on. I don't know if that's helping anybody, but I threw that out there. All right, point number two. The key to fishing for men is obedience and intentionality. You got to be intentional about it. You got to obey. So this is the Great Commission out of Luke 22. This is, you know, we've read from Matthew. I read from Acts. Now I'm reading from Luke because it's also in Mark and John. But I'm going to read from Luke this time. It says, then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Let me go back. I need to frame this one again because you need to understand what's going on here. Jesus is resurrected and there's this two guys that start walking on Emmaus and he appears to them. They don't even know it was Jesus. And then he finally reveals to them. And as soon as he reveals himself to those two, he disappears on them. They go running back to Jerusalem to tell the rest of the disciples. And then Jesus just appears in the room. It's like he just walks right through the wall. And he's like, oh, it's Jesus. He's alive, you know. And boom, he's got their attention, right? So let's go back to our story here. Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms was fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Like, all the things that he said. That's why he was talking about resurrecting and dying. And oh, now it makes all sense. Because remember, Peter was opposing him. What are you talking about? You're talking foolishness, Jesus. Don't talk about that. Jesus had to rebuke him. He said, hey, get behind me, Satan. You know, you're stopping me from doing what God's called me to do. Because his mind wasn't open at the time to what was happening. So now his mind is open, and then he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And what is the message? There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Come on, doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. There is forgiveness for you. There's cleansing for you. There's a new start. There's a mulligan. There's a new beginning for you. Come on. A do-over for you. You're a new creature if you repent. You're witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Hallelujah. We know in Acts, and it says, because when you receive that power, then you will be my witnesses. Come on, when we come up here and we soak in the presence and we get filled up with the Holy Spirit, because being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event. We're like a balloon, you know, that's slowly leaking. So we need to get filled up from time to time. And when you do that, something comes upon you. There's this like boldness. You know, you become heaven-minded. And all of a sudden you're like, yes, let me tell you. Sorry, I'm spitting here. The message that I just said, there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Hallelujah. But the Great Commission, listen, are marching orders. It's not an option for the believer. If you have been changed by the love and power of Jesus Christ, then we are compelled and in debt. Paul talked about all these things. I'm in debt to God and to a lost world. We cannot sit on the sidelines. Every time you draw closer to Christ, He will send you out. You just want to go and be there and intimate with God. He says, I love you, love you. Go and tell somebody about me. Peter, do you love me? Go feed my sheep. You know, that's what He does. He draws us close so you can feel His heart, hear His heart. But then He sends you out. He says, there's more out there that I want to reach. I want to love them just like I love you. Come on. And He begins to impart His heart for the lost in us. If you don't have any compulsion to share the gospel with people, I wonder if you're even saved. Is that rough to say? It's only the Spirit of God in you that can give you that heart. And the Bible says that when you receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, that you're sealed with the Spirit of the promise. And you begin to see things differently. You're able to love people that you couldn't love before. Amen? You're able to love your enemies. Now listen, you might be uneasy about the whole thing. That's different. It's like, I don't want to share because I don't know how to share. I don't know where to start. Last time I tried it, I fumbled it up and they rejected me. And now it's like that child that starts to walk, right? This is some children begin to walk before they're 1 year old. And then they have that big bad fall and they're like, I'm not doing this walk thing. And they end up walking at 16 months or 18 months. Why? Because they're afraid of that fall. And that happens to a lot of believers. They have the bad first impression with sharing the gospel. And so they think, I don't know if I want to do this. So that's one thing, you know, that you want to share, but you don't know how to share. That's different. We can work with that. The problem is, that, you know, if you have no desire whatsoever to tell people about Jesus, is maybe you don't have the right message in you. But that's good because you're here too, and this is a great place for you to receive Jesus and be forgiven. Look at what we said. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, about repentance, because that's important. God, that's been in my heart. But anyway, going back to this, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted in my name. You tried to share, but it didn't go so well, so they cut you down. They called you a holy roller, hallelujah, or whatever. You know, what is it? A cholo? A cholo. You know, they call you all kinds of names. Yeah. But another is to say, I will not go out for and do it. Because the Bible calls the conversion experience, you know, it calls it being a new creation, a new creature, being born again, a new person. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 11, then I'm going to jump to verses 14 and 15, just so we can stay on this. It says, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. Look at the wording he's using here. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. And then jump into verse 14. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He also says in another place, I'm crucified with Christ. In the life that I live it in the faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. You know, we got to crucify the old you. And let me just say this. You rebuke, you know, spirits, but you crucify the flesh. Don't rebuke your flesh. It ain't going to do you any good. You got to put the flesh on the altar and just kill it. All right? You need to deny yourself. I understand that. Don't be rebuking your flesh. It's not going to do anything. You rebuke demons. You rebuke demons. He says, say it again. You rebuke demons, but you kill the flesh. You crucify the flesh. You say no to those old desires. You can't pray them, you know, until they just go away or something like that. You start saying no to them and start saying yes to God. You starve the flesh. You starve it. Don't feed it anymore. Don't feed the things that make you go to the old life. That's what we don't preach about, you know, like, don't watch this movie. Don't look at this stuff on TV, you know. You never hear that from us. Why? Because we believe that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. We tell you to be wise. And if you sense yourself when you're watching a movie, this stuff is making you it's making me go that way instead of running to God, then you need to say, and it's better that way, isn't it? Because now you're a part of the solution as far as the pastor saying, if you have a TV that you're going to hell and you need to just take it and throw it in the dumpster, you know. I have TVs in my house and I watch movies, all right? I watch shows, but we've become even more picky. We used to have Netflix and we'd go for 20 minutes looking for something to watch and we couldn't find anything. So we said, let's just get rid of it. And you know what we'd end up doing? Watching the same movie we'd already watched. Yeah. At least we know we'll like this one, you know, so we'll just watch the same movie. But you got to crucify the flesh. That's one way to crucify is like, don't turn it on. It's like, yeah, man, I really want to watch that. I like those cars and Fast and the Furious, but all of the stuff that comes with it, it ain't any good. So watch what you feed your flesh because it will want to creep up and take control. Crucify. Don't rebuke it. Rebuke the demons that are coming through there. You know, just don't come in my house, spirit of sexual immorality. Yeah, come on. That wasn't in my message, so this is, I hope this is for somebody. It says, he died for everyone so that those who will receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. No longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. You willingly, Jesus, let me put myself on the grill, on the altar. Let the flesh just burn away and be consumed. And it says, interesting, it says that becomes a good fragrance to the Lord. You never thought about like a, you know, burning flesh becoming a, but it's because it means surrender. It smells good, you know. Just it's like a barbecue. You just got to put some good spices on it. There, I talked about food. All right. But look at the key words. What are the words that we're using in this passage? Fearful responsibility. Work hard. Persuade others. Live for Christ, no longer for themselves. He's not sugarcoating it. That's the gospel that we serve. You are here because somebody lived that. This week, I was like, I need to talk to my pastor in Mexico, and I need to ask him, how did you become saved? Who went to see you in that rural area of Mexico? Why did you decide to go to Bible school? That one day somebody from Guadalajara, an American missionary, told you to go visit my parents and you were willing to go and knock on a door, you know, not knowing if they were going to reject you or not, but you were willing to go and then come back week after week until, you know, my mom gave her life to the Lord. Come on. What compels somebody to do that? It is the gospel. You're not here because it was easy. Somebody had to die. If you were to trace it back, somebody died for you to be here. Some died physically. Some died, you know, spiritually. Come on. Let that flesh just die and say, I want to go and go. I want to go fishing. Amen. Point number three, fishing starts with prayer. You got to have prayer in the mix. It's so important. You got to pray for wisdom. You got to pray for mentors. You got to pray for training. You know, the cool things that the Bible says through Peter says, all things pertaining to life and godliness have already been given to us. God is saying, if you will ask for it, I will give it to you. Look at what James 1, verses 5 and 6 says. If you need wisdom, if you can say, if you don't know how to share with people, if you don't have that wisdom to share the gospel with people, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. Who do you think is more interested in people hearing the gospel, you or God? Why would He not equip you? You're doing His work. Everything that you ask within the vision of God for your life, He's going to easily supply it. When I need supplies at our battalion, I don't have to beg them to give them to me. Why? Because we're in a training mission. Our job is to train soldiers. Come on, that's spiritual right there. Our job is to train soldiers. So I go to the S4 shop and I say, hey, I need a whiteboard. I need notebooks. I need pens. I need this. I need that. Just initial right here. Here you go. Why? Because it's fulfilling the mission of our battalion. And when you're fulfilling the mission that you were designed for, God will give you everything that you need. I am telling you. There was a time when I said, God, I want to share with people. I don't know how to do it. And the church that I grew up in, Pastor, before I got here, before I was 12, I got saved at 8. I got baptized by 10. They had us going on the streets. They would take us to a park. Hey, you preteens, you know, you go over there, you see the people, you go talk to them. I mean, they throw us in the fire. They throw us in the fire. Go share the gospel with that person. I don't remember what I said. You know, I went on a mission trip and said, hey, this Saturday we're going to go to this little village over there. Anybody wants to go? And like two adults raised their hand and I raised my hand. So here I am traveling with like, I was just going. I was just like, yeah, I'll go. You know, I slept most of the way there. And then they're like, okay, share your testimony. That was that. Probably wasn't anything amazing, but I was faithful. You know, but those things really marked my life. Every step along the way, when I was in high school, I shared the gospel. All the people that I shared the gospel with in high school, one person gave their life to the Lord. One person, my best friend. And I brought him to church. He came to Shiloh. His name was Quentin. Q, we used to call him. And he came to church here. I think Pastor Danny was preaching that day. And he came up. You probably don't remember him, but you used to know him. Quentin. Yeah. It's been a while, Pastor. You just trust me on this. You know? Other people just kind of go like, what are you talking about? You know, I was trying my best to tell them about Jesus. I made a lot of mistakes along the way. But one of the things I said, God, I want to learn how to do this better. And no lie, the more I was praying that, and all of a sudden, we had a worship leader who was big on, what would he call it? It was a name for that type of evangelism. Where we would go out door to door and give things to people. Remember that? Ron Ferlito. And he's like, hey, we're going to give people 9-volt batteries and light bulbs and things that they need, water, you know, on the street. There was a name for that. It's like, not French evangelism, but some type of a name like that, just to gain favor with people. You know, and Chuck Ferguson is doing that. He's like, hey, do you guys need prayers? They have a team every, what is it, a couple Saturdays a month, and they're doing door-to-door. You know how many homes they've done the last year since they started? It's like, you know, probably like 1,000. Yeah. So that means 1,000 people in this city have a little red Bible that says, hey, here's the verses for you to connect with Jesus, and here's our address if you ever want to visit us. Wow. Come on. The longer you do it, you get bolder and bolder. Amen? But it starts with prayer. So I began to pray, God, I needed somebody to teach me how to do it. Boom. Ron appears like, hey, guys, we're going to show you guys how to do like this real simple way of evangelizing people. Like, okay. And then I said, Lord, I want to learn more about how to share with people. And I came into different methodologies. I'm going to share with you about them in a little bit. God just began to send mentors, you know. And I'm going to talk about the way of the master. And we heard about sharing Jesus with a fear. And evangelism explosion in the little color book. And I mean, there's so many ways to share the gospel. You know, because sometimes we tell people, go out and share. And it's like somebody sending somebody into war without a weapon. It's like, go out. Take that hill. It's like, that doesn't work, right? You got to train people how to shoot. And sometimes the best thing you can do is learn a little script. It's like a little map that's going to take you. Yes, ultimately, as you get better, as you want to hear God's voice, you know, maybe He'll give you a word of knowledge. You know, you'll be led by the Spirit. But when you're getting started, maybe just say, hey, I have 5 verses I want to share with you. And you just, you know, the Roman road, right? Just, anyone hear these terms I'm talking about? I mean, very few people here. So I'm with the right crowd. I'm teaching the right people today. Come on. It says, if you need wisdom, ask for generous our generous God, he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. You need to be unwavering in this. I need to get better at becoming a fisherman for Christ, a fisher of men, a fisherwoman of men and women. I need to reach them wherever God sends me. Only thing you can pray for is for boldness. When I talk about boldness, it's like the fire, an intensity, a persuasiveness. They can tell if you mean it or not. Sounds like you're excited about the message. I should at least listen to you. You know, sound like a fanatic. You know, but I'll at least listen to you because you sound like you care about that subject. You know, so God gives you a boldness. I marched right into, you know, Mark's office one day, and I prayed up, man. I was prayed up all that weekend. God told me, go share with your boss. And I said, okay. And so it was like a Friday afternoon. And Lord God, I don't know if I'm ready right now. So the first thing I said, okay, I'm not going to go today, but I'm going to make an appointment for first thing Monday morning. I made an appointment with him, you know. And then I called Pastor, pray for me. I need to go share with my boss. And Pastor, I need to pray. You know, I'm going to. And man, all that weekend, I was just wrestling, Lord God, I need to share with him, you know. But when I went in there, God gave me the words. You know what? He received the message, and he gave his life to Jesus, and he cried. Come on. He was like, yes, thank you. I needed that. I needed a little boldness. You know? So everybody here, go see your boss this week. No, I'm kidding. As the Lord leads you, come on. God spoke to me and said, go talk to him. We had built a relationship over the years. It only took me 18 years. You know, actually, it was 16 at the time, 16. Yes. But thank you. But he's here today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. It says, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for who? For all believers everywhere. And then he says, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and the Gentiles alike. I'm going to places where they haven't heard the name of Jesus. You know, just pray for me. That I'm not going to go in there, you know, wondering, you know, just fully convinced, fully persuaded that God has me there. And I have the right message that's going to save the people of that locality. Pray. And there's people going all over the world these days doing this. And I think God is going to be sending some people out from here. Some of you have already gone out. It's coming again. There's another wave of evangelism, another wave of missionary work that's coming into the nation. And you are a part of it. You should say, yes, I will. Like we sang last week, yes, I will. That song has been in my heart all week. Yes, I will. I will praise you in the darkest valleys. Hallelujah. And he told us to pray for laborers. Interesting, he didn't tell us to pray for the lost. He said, I will give you the lost. You just need to go out there. It says, Jesus said, the fields are ripe. They're white, for you know, ready for the harvest. If you will go out there, you will pluck them. Sometimes you're just sowing seed, but a lot of times you're reaping. And God said, if you will go out there, you're going to reap what you didn't even sow. Yeah. There's a grandmother that's been praying for somebody for 20 years. Frustrated, and here you all walking in there, you know, first time, and you share a few words, and they give their life to the Lord, and you're like, yeah. But there was an old lady out there suffering, you know, and doesn't even know that they're saved. You know, it takes maybe some time before they find out. Come on. Hallelujah. We just had a really cool start. I was talking to the Northies yesterday, and you know, Mark and I got to participate in this. We get to lead, you know, somebody to the Lord the other day, but I didn't know. They had been praying for that for Jonah and for John for a long time. Well, so somebody was sowing, you know. They had shared, you know, but we had the open door. Hallelujah. You just got to go out there. Come on. Pray for opportunities. I'm telling you, if you're intentional about it, you say, God, give me an open door, he will give them to you. Be fish-minded. Come on. I'm not talking about, you know, your favorite place, Pastor, Red Lobster. I'm talking about, like, I'm talking about people. Think about them. How do I get the message to this people? It may take me some time, but I'm going to wiggle it in. I'm going to sneak up on them. I'm going to share the word. I'm going to pepper my conversations. You know, at the end of when they say, hey, what are you going to do next week? Oh, we're going to have that one meeting, Lord willing. So why does he say Lord willing every time? Because the Bible tells us that we should never just assume that we're going to make it to that day. So I said, well, if the Lord wills it, I'll be at the meeting. I'm planning on being there, but if the Lord says you can't be there, you know, then I'm not going to be there. So I don't want to promise something I can't deliver on. I'll be there, Lord willing. You pepper your conversations. God bless you. You know, people say bless you when you sneeze. Throw in there, God bless you. That's even better. You sneeze once, just say bless you. You sneeze twice, I'm like, God bless you, you know, because you need to get healed. You know, you're bringing those germs into the office, and that's not good. I'm doing it for me. All right, pray for the leading of the Spirit. Anyway, pray for the lost, you know, we call it the prayer of the three. If everybody here grabbed three people, said, hey, over the next month, I'm going to pray for three people every day, just those three people. And then in a month, I'm going to go talk to them. Just watch out. Everybody, I do challenge you to do that. Pray for three people. You're like, I really want these three people to come to the Lord. They've been on my heart. God's going to lead you to them, maybe because of your acquaintances or somebody that you see at work. You love them, but you know, they're just not. And you invite them to church. You can invite them to your connection group. You can invite them, you know. We had couples, you know, unsaved couples that showed up to our couples dinner last night. That was great. That was great. That's because Chris did a great job, you know. So what is the secret for marriage? Jesus. Come on, right there. Jesus can heal a marriage. You just got to get them in the right environment. That was a good pond. So I got just a slide I want to show you real quick. I know I'm going long here, but I'm almost done. So some things that I've learned along the way, I call them fishing methods. But Roman wrote, you know, I was taught this, you know, there's a number of verses in Romans, like Romans 3:10. It says that, you know, for all fall short, you know, all have gone astray. 3:23, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, you know, that he loved us in, you know, while we're yet sinners, Christ loved us. Romans 6:23, you know, the wages of sin is it, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Romans 10:19, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him up, that you will be saved. Amen. So you learn all these verses. Romans 8:1, it says there's now no condemnation. Now you're armed with all you need to share the gospel with somebody. It's called the Roman road. Sharing Jesus without fear. This is based on Acts 8:30. When, you know, Philip met up with the Ethiopian eunuch and he was reading from the scroll from Isaiah. It says, do you understand what you're reading? So the essence of the sharing wisdom with a fear, and I know Brother Jerry's big on it, is you don't tell him what the scripture means. You say, you read it. What does it mean to you? Because, you know, they'll be opposed when you give it a spin or something like that. No, it's like, you tell me what it reads to you. Well, I think it says that I am a sinner. Okay? And what else? What does this scripture say to you? Well, it says I need to be born again. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you. You know, you just kind of let them read the scripture, you know, and then and so they've actually made Bibles where they have, you have a Bible like this. And at the top of the page, it's got the next scripture. It'll lead you to the next one. But it's upside down. So you can go like this. Hey, how does this read to you? Read it again. Read it again. Until you feel like they're getting it, right? All right. What does this scripture read to you? You know? So it's called sharing Jesus without fear. And I've done that. You know, I've done evangelism explosion, which is, hey, you know, if something were to happen to you, if you were to die, do you have with certainty, you know, do you know with certainty where you would go? No? Or, and the next question is, if you were to go before God, it would ask you, why should I let you into heaven? Do you have an answer for that? That was the essence of evangelism explosion. And boom, and you share the gospel with them. And the key is always a transition from the natural, talking about sports, the news, to something like, and going into the spiritual, right? That is the key. Way of the Master is, you know, Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron, you know, talking about the law. You know, you lead people, what, you think you're a good person. Oh, I'm a good person. Can I give you a little test? Sure, you take them through some of the Ten Commandments. Have you ever told a lie? Well, yes. What does that make you? A liar. Have you ever stolen something, whether smaller or big? Yeah. What does that make you? A stealer? No, there's no such thing as a stealer. A thief, you know. Stealers are good. Thieves are bad. Come on. All right. I see I have a live crowd here. I seem to have struck a chord, Pastor. Yeah. You know, but eventually you say, hey, if God were to judge you on the basis of the Ten Commandments, would you be innocent or guilty? Well, guilty. Does that concern you? And it's like, boom, you just open the door. It's like, because some people can't receive the antidote until you show them that they're sick. Why would they want to take a medicine if they think they're good? I'm good. But if I take you through the Ten Commandments, you've broken all the five we just hit on. You want me to keep going? It's like, no, that's good. It's like, I tell people, and then I say, I'll tell them, I've broken all 10, some from my heart and some of them outwardly. I've lied, I've stolen, you know, I've coveted, you know, I've committed adultery of the heart. You know, I've dishonored my mother and my father. You know, I've not kept the Sabbath holy. I've had other things before God. Come on. I've broken all 10. The Bible says that the law is like a schoolmaster, a guardian. His job is just to take us to Christ. We go like, the law is so dirty, so difficult to keep. And then he pushes us to grace. And then Jesus, right here, I'm grace. Yes! That's all the law does. So you see, if you're armed with a little script, with understanding how, you know, these things work, you feel a little more, you know, at ease. That's a good place to start. Obviously, as you're praying, God will speak to you. He said, don't say anything. Say something. He'll reveal to you something, you know, like a word of knowledge. You know, I see you, you know, like that you've been praying, you know, for your son, you know, and you've been crying at night. And it's like, how did you know that? It's like the Holy Spirit just revealed it to me. That builds faith. That opens the door. You know, once you start getting to what I call the higher levels of evangelism, you can take a little bit of that. I do a hodgepodge. I'll start with maybe, you know, the way of the mastery, going evangelism explosion, you know, the Roman road, you know, sharing Jesus with a fear, you know, the four spiritual laws, you know, the color book works for children. You know, I don't have time to do that. Now, when you get higher levels, you go into what they call the treasure hunt, where you pray, you know, and God tells us, I want you to go a place where there's a big sign that says, you know, I don't know, house, you know, and you're going to meet somebody with a guy with a red shirt. It's like, okay. And you write it down. And so, like, they're driving around Texas Roadhouse. That is the place that I saw. Okay, and then you start walking. There's a guy with a red shirt. It's like, and you share with him. Why? Because the Holy Spirit showed you. Some people actually do that. Anybody ever done that? A treasure hunt? There's some people that do treasure hunts. You know? Do it. You know, so I'm saying now you're learning to hear the Spirit. Anyway, ultimately, you want to pray, you want to listen, and you want to be led. But all those are good places to start. Memorize those four or five scriptures, you know, the basis of one of these fishing methods, and get out there. Share with somebody. Try it out. Remember, they're not rejecting you. What if they receive it? What if they receive it? You just want somebody to the Lord, and you'll be hooked forever. It's better than hitting a hole-in-one in golf. They say if you hit a good shot in golf that you're hooked forever. I'm telling you, you save one. I mean, Jesus saves them, but if you're the one that delivers the message, you're hooked forever. Come on.